along by your side. So praise the Lord. I hope you all draw near to him. Continuing on in the glad you asked, right? And I know some of you guys have asked some real big theological questions. This one I found interesting. It's kind of a fun one for me because it kind of pops the hood. But it's a question that's asked a lot, right? So I don't know how theologically deep the question is, but it's one of those that makes you scratch your head and say, I've always wondered. The question here is, where did Cain get his wife? And I could probably answer this within 2 minutes and send you home, but you guys know me. I can't. You're not getting out of here too early. But this is a great opportunity to really kind of pull back and how to address. How do I find the answers in the Bible? So I'm going to walk you through some of the process we do, because these are just questions that are here and there. I'm sure there's other questions you'll have. We'll finish off this study. I'm glad you asked. And, I'll always be available for questions. I love that kind of stuff. And but you'd be able to dig these things out on your own. So I wanted to kind of use this as an opportunity to kind of walk you through the process, if you will. Right? Because the Bible does tell us so much. If we're willing to kind of pop the hood and dig a little bit, right, and find out some of these answers. So now in here, because talk about the idea of the book of Genesis, I'm going to make a plug on Wednesdays at 6:30. We are having Bible study, and we are starting off the book of Genesis. We started last week. We got about halfway through the chapter, so we're flying through Genesis. But if you're really kind of interested in Genesis, it's a really low-key type of study. Questions and answers. We'll take the time. Usually we have a snack. I mean, it's a good time. And so if you guys want to come out, that's Wednesday, 6:30, just right next door. I encourage you to come out. So we had a few questions on Genesis. One of them, I thought this was a great question. Which is my favorite dinosaur? Now, to be honest, I haven't been asked this question for a very long time. And I'm kind of stuck between, right? You guys know, I think I've shared with you, initially when I went to college, my major was biology education. I was going to be a science teacher. Can you picture me as a science teacher? The Lord had something better in store for me and saved a million kids from having to put up with me. So I do love science. Biology was kind of my niche and all that. So this is right up my alley. We talk about the idea of dinosaurs. And I'm kind of stuck between, one of them is a Stegosaurus. He's the guy with the little spiky tails, right? I know everyone wants to do a T-Rex or a raptor and all those things. I don't like the violent ones. Let's eat some grass and leave me alone. But it's not my favorite. And I'm going to cheat. Because how many of you guys are kind of up on dinosaurs? We got a few of you guys, all right? Because my favorite dinosaur is not actually a dinosaur. Does anyone know what the word dinosaur means? It means terrible lizard. All right, and actually what distinguishes a dinosaur is actually how its hips are made. This is information you never need to know, right? It's how its hips are made, and so actually only land animals are called dinosaurs, but there's sea creatures and there's flying ones. They aren't technically dinosaurs. So if I was going to say my favorite, if I can loosely use the term, I like the pterodactyl, big old flying critter, all right? But it's not technically a dinosaur, so don't judge me on that, okay? So, anyways, back to where did Cain get his wife? And we're going to lay down some premises here, a couple things. First of all, the Bible does not tell us everything, all right? The Bible doesn't tell us how far away the moon is, right? The Bible tells us what we need to know, and there's a difference. So as we read the scriptures, right, there are things that the Bible doesn't declare to us. And we have to dig a little deeper. Sometimes we can put things together. There are things that really, sort of in the big picture, that we, as far as our salvation goes and our walk with the Lord, aren't that important. And God hasn't given us all of those things. But what he has given us is what we need to know. 2 Peter says, in his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Right? So the Word of God, the Bible here, contains all I need for life, right? And how to live a godly life. God has given us all those things. My word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, right? The Word of God helps me and should direct me in all things. So when we have a question of life and liberty and how we should vote and what we should do, one of the things we should do be going into the Scriptures and say, okay, God, what do you say about these things, and then how can I apply it to my life? All right? So as we look at the Bible is not a science book. Actually, probably the closest thing is a history book. I believe the Bible is history. I am one who believes in a literal reading of the Scriptures. And I say that, it's funny, because I talked to a gentleman. You have these people who are kind of smart aleck who want to think they're smarter than you are, right? You ever run across people like that? And he asked me, he goes, do you take the Bible literally? I'm like, yes, I take a literal reading of the Scriptures. Oh, so when Jesus said that he was a door, is he an oak door? Is he a birch door? And I'm like, really? The Bible does contain metaphors, right? It has similes. It uses those type of language, but it's clear when it's using those things. We have history books in here. We have poetry that uses poetic language in things, right? But we use those things in our dialogue every day, right? So these sort of smarty pants who want to try to, okay, really? So I started to say that I take a natural reading of the Scriptures, right? Because there are things where clearly God is using illustrations, right? We have Jesus telling stories. We have those things. We have poetry and using over-the-top language sometimes, right? And the Bible, as we read it, it does explain these things out. But I believe the Bible is true. I believe it is the standard of life. It is God's revelation to us. And so in it, I look to it for the answers of life. I believe Genesis is a history book, right? It's not just a story. And so as we go and approach these things, I look at it as a really account that we can draw facts from. And I think I'm in good company because guess what? Jesus believed Genesis was history. Right? Jesus refers to Genesis often. Actually, the whole New Testament, we started off the studies in Genesis last Wednesday, and I handed out a sheet. I think it was like 130 times that the book of Genesis is referred to from the New Testament. Obviously, the New Testament writers believed Genesis was real. Talk about there was a real Adam and Eve, right? And actually, Jesus in Matthew 19, talking about the idea of divorce. In the context of that, Jesus lays down what Genesis establishes as a fact of marriage. And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female? And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer one flesh, but two. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. Jesus here is referring to the Garden of Eden when he created Adam and Eve. And I'll tell you, our world could go back to the book of Genesis and get some foundational truths laid out. Because the Bible says, in the beginning, God created them, what? Male and female and the 35 other genders that's out there. No. Right? God made a male and he made him female. He talked the idea of marriage. That God defined marriage as between one man and one woman. In the beginning, God created. Right? We talked about this morning of those that have spouses who have lost a spouse. And actually, this is the verse I refer to, right? The Bible talks about two becoming one flesh. And loss of a spouse is like a part of death of you, because the two become one. We talk about that union that God has established. All these things. Jesus refers to Genesis as facts to base his teaching upon. I'm going to throw this out because I believe, especially the first 11 chapters of Genesis, are ones that really kind of cause people to kind of get kind of worked up. And so there's three truths. If you're going to be a Bible-believing Christian, there's at least three things, I think, out of the book of Genesis you have to believe. If I was talking to someone or listening to someone who did not believe these three things, because these have theological ramifications all throughout the scriptures, I would be hard-pressed to listening to someone who disregards at least these three points. The first one is that God created all things. Right? The first verse of the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Colossians goes on through, when we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, that through Jesus, all things were created and all things are sustained. That's in the book of Colossians. So the fact that all of this was created by God. Now, I have brothers and sisters in the Lord who aren't a literal six-day creationist, which I am. I believe the Bible says that God made day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six. I'm a literalist in that. Some may disagree with that. But at the end of the day, for me, the important thing is that they believe that God created. They may disagree on the process of all that. And I have a good friend of mine, we used to debate evolution versus creation, and we were talking about those things. And I love him, and I believe he's saved. He just believes God used the process. And I told him, you know, God bless you. You can be wrong if you want to. But I still love you in the Lord. But it's important to realize that all things came from God. The second thing I think it's imperative that if you want to be a sort of a Bible-believing Christian, foundational of Genesis, is that all mankind came from Adam. And there's theological reasons for that. Right? Some will say, well, you know, Adam is a type of all the mankind that was around. No, actually in there, we were declared that later on, Christ is a type of the second Adam. Jesus referred to Adam. Paul, in his writings, theologically points to Adam. It's imperative to be consistent and understanding of Scripture is that Adam and Eve were real people. The last one is a little bit towards, you know, what we're going to talk about this morning, but in here, that all life was destroyed by the flood. Right? I believe it was a worldwide flood. If you go to like Answers in Genesis, Institute of Creation Research, there's a lot of the fossil record which is explained by the flood. But I believe there is dinosaurs, right? I told you my favorite one. God created those, and actually the pterodactyl was a flying animal, and so he was created on the fifth day, and the T-Rex was created on the sixth day with the land animals. But they were all wiped out during the flood. And there's theological purposes of that. The Bible says that all mankind was wiped out, save for the eight that survived on the ark. And we have that theological things carried out throughout the scripture. So those are three necessary. We may disagree with some of the other details. But we start asking the question of where did Cain get his wife? It's important for us to really start on what we know. So anytime you have a question, whether it's something like this or you have your own question, I want to empower you, go to the scriptures and find all the verses you can that talk about the subject you want to know about. Right? I'm a firm believer as we're going in. This is an election year. And we start talking about, actually, there's a lot more moral issues that are on the ballot. Right? I think of abortion. What does God have a view on abortion? He does. I encourage you to grab your Bible, start digging through all the things that God says about pregnancy, talking about life in the womb, take a look at all those, and start from what you know. Right? Don't start with what you wanted to say. Right? There's a lot of preachers today that you can go on, and they start from the premise of, this is what I believe, therefore I'm going to go into the Bible and pull out what will support it. And I'll try to make them fit. Don't do that. Start with the big picture. Start with what you know. So here's the process. We talk about Cain. Where did Cain get his wife? Now this may seem really silly, but the first thing that we know is what? Cain had a wife. Look what it says. There we go. That's what I want. It says, Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch, and he built a city. So how do we know that Cain had a wife? The Bible says so. That is a fact. That is a truism. Right? Are we all on the same page? A couple things because of this. Notice what it says. And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain. And it says, I have acquired a man from the Lord, and she bore again, and this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And it says, what in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering, right? We go through where Cain's thing was accepted, Abel's was not, right? But it's interesting because how about in the process of time? One of the things we kind of lose track of in the scriptures is time. Because it's so easy to say, oh, you know, Genesis, here we are. You know, Genesis chapter 3, we have the fall of man, they're kicked out, and you turn the page, and I literally go from here to here, and now we have Cain killing Abel, right? How much time has transpired in just those few paragraphs? We really don't know. But notice what it says in the process of time. Cain and Abel were now adults doing their sacrifices, right? So now Adam and Eve had kids, and now these kids have grown up, and now they're making decisions, right? Now Cain is old enough that now he has a wife. Well, how old do you got to be a wife or to have a wife, right? We don't quite understand that. I would say older than 10, right? Especially guys. You know, we're so immature. It's not even fun. All right. Actually, it is fun, but that's a whole different thing. All right. So we start off with, first we know from the scriptures that what Cain did have a wife. Second thing we know for a fact is that all people came from Adam and Eve. Right? Genesis chapter 1 says, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created them, what, male and female. God created mankind. Genesis 3 tells us that Adam called his wife's name, what, Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Right? All mankind came from Eve as a common mother. Is that what that verse is saying? Yeah. Right? Doesn't say some. Doesn't say most. Right? All people came from what? Eve. We know that for a fact. Romans tells us, and though just as though one man entered into the world, death through sin, thus sin spread to all men because all have sinned. Who is the one man that sin entered into the world in? That's Adam. Right? Adam took of the fruit, bit it, his eyes were opened. Sin came into the world. Notice what Romans tells us, and this is why I went back to say that all people came from Adam and Eve, right? It's imperative theologically, because now sin has been passed on all the way from Adam to all mankind. So all have sinned, right? Why? Because we are all related to Adam. Are we following so far? So we know for a fact that Cain had a wife. We know that all people came from Adam and Eve. We also know in scriptures that Adam and Eve had sons and what? Daughters. Genesis chapter 1. Notice what God's command was to Adam and Eve. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said, be what? Fruitful and do what? Multiply. Now, I could ask a really silly question, but how do people multiply? They have kids. So they were directly commanded to go and have kids. And guess what? They did. Actually, Genesis chapter 5 in the genealogy of Seth says, look, and after he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years. Now think about that, right? We're going to talk about some of the time frames. And sometimes we lose this. After Seth was born, Adam and Eve lived 900 years after that. That's a long time. And guess what they did? They had sons and daughters. So all the years that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. So you just think of that time frame you go down through. How many kids could you have in that scope of time? So if we were to take this and put this all together, we know Cain had a wife. So where did Cain get his wife from? Well, he obviously married a woman. A woman came from Adam and Eve, right? So where did Cain get his wife from? Cain had to have married either his sister, his niece, or a grandniece. Logic just tells you that, right? He had a wife. All people came from Adam and Eve. Therefore, he had to have them from one of these sources. Now, first of all, everyone says, ew. Right? But this is where it's interesting, because once we start with the facts, now, we may not understand it, right? We may not have all the details, but if we approach the scriptures of saying, these are the facts, and then this is what we know is true, and by faith we trust God to fill in the gaps. Because the other solution, I've watched a couple of different videos, and they're like, well, Adam and Eve, God put them in the garden, but there were other people around. And these other people were outside of Adam and Eve, and Cain married one of these people from one of these other tribes. No, that's not true, because the Bible says that all people came from what? Adam and Eve. There were no other people around. Everyone who ever existed came from Adam and Eve. Now, here's a couple of interesting things, right? Because once we have the facts, this is the kind of stuff that I get kind of nerdy on. I get kind of excited over this, because now we start looking at these truths, and now we start looking at kind of what the Bible says, and we can kind of infer some things, right? Now, we got to be careful, because I could be wrong, because I'm inferring some things, but hopefully I'm inferring it based on a biblical basis, right? So sometimes we can guess things. For instance, if you were to ask me, how to rebuild a transmission, and I was like, oh, this is what you do, and I'm going to speculate on how you do it. Can I tell you something? Don't follow my instructions, because I don't know how a transmission works. I know you shift it, the car goes forward, shift it again, it goes backwards. That's pretty much it. If I took one apart, it would be scary of what I'd come across caged in there, right? I'm not a guy to do it. Actually, it was funny, because when my car was getting fixed, we had a loaner car. And it was a little Nissan Rogue, which was a really nice car. But one thing drove me nuts. In order to go backwards, you had to shift it back. You had to go forward. You had to shift it up to go back. And that drove me nuts. I'm like, this thing's broken. Why am I pushing forward to go back? And all the whole while we're on vacation, I complained every time I had to back up. Because I'm like, I'm pushing, right? Because that's not how transmissions work. Now, I have a friend of mine who is a mechanic, who has torn apart many vehicles. And if I brought my vehicle to him and say, hey, can you fix my transmission? He'd say, you know what? I've never worked on a Toyota Camry, but I've worked on all these other cars. I would feel confident letting him try to fix it. Why? Because his guesstimation is based on his knowledge and his facts. Does that make sense? So as we go down through, if we start speculating from Scripture, we can pull off some truths and then kind of put them together. Here's some what I'm talking about. Like I said, I get kind of nerdy on this. First of all, Cain killed Abel when Adam was 130 years old. About that. Look what the Bible says. It says, after Abel killed Cain killed Abel. And Genesis 4 tells us that Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son called Seth. For God had appointed another seed after me of Abel, whom Cain killed. Right? So after Cain kills Abel, they have another child. They have Seth. And what? This is a replacement for. So Seth seems to be born soon after Abel's death. You following me so far? Genesis chapter 5 says, in the book of genealogy of Adam, in the days of God created man, he made him in the likeness of God, and he created them male and female, and blessed them, and called them mankind in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and then begat a son in his own likeness after his image. Named him what? Seth. So in there, Seth was born when Adam was 130 years old. He was born soon after Abel was dead. Therefore, we can kind of guesstimate that when all this took place with Cain and Abel, they were roughly about 130 years old. So they're not just young kids. They are full adults. Right? Now, because of that, we can infer that Adam and Eve potentially had 130 years of having kids. Right? Now, when God created Adam and Eve, how old were they? Now, you can say that's sort of a trick question, right? Because God created them, they were what, one day old? But were they little babies? No, they were full-grown adults. God said, go forth and multiply. So they could have started having kids right off the bat, right? They didn't have to grow up. God created them adults. So until the time of Cain and Abel, it's about 130 years, Adam and Eve had 130 years of childbearing. Ian's rolling her eyes down here, right? So they could have been having children for 130 years. Wow. Now, I'm curious. How many of you guys came from a big family? My mom had 12. Did anyone have 12 kids in the family or more? Bruce? Oh. Oh, eight. Yeah. I mean, you don't have to go too far back where people are like, oh, we have big families, right? It's sort of the recent phenomenon that now we have families who, couples who are marrying who choose not to have kids, right? Just because they want their lifestyles cramped. But children used to be a blessing, right? Especially when you used to have the farms, you used to need kids, right? And so having kids was a blessing. So we got to be careful. We don't read into our modern philosophy, say, oh, right? You know, we only have one or maybe two kids at the most. Anyone beyond that is awful and evil. And you don't have to go back far until you have families with big, big families. So, here's some possibility now. Right? If Adam and Eve could have had kids for 130 years, we know they had kids after he was 130, right? We don't know for sure. This gives us potentially five generations. And I'm defining a generation as when the kid grows up to be 25 years old and now they can start having kids. Right? So when every kid becomes 25, is able to get married, have kids after 25 years. That gives us five generations. Right? And they're living long lives. So all of a sudden now the population of the earth starts filling up pretty quick. Right? Now tradition, take it for what it's worth, this isn't scripture, this is tradition. Tradition says that Adam and Eve had 33 sons and 23 daughters in their lifetime. Now imagine them marrying, them having kids, and all of a sudden now you have the world's population kind of exploding. I spent a little time with Google this week playing math. Right? So five generations. If every couple had 12 kids, right, which isn't beyond the scope, right? You're living hundreds of years, potentially, right, have 12 kids within that scope, right? If that was true, in five generations, there would be 3 million people on the earth by the time Cain was kicked out, him and his wife. That's a lot of people. Right? So I was like, oh, well, let's play that down just a little bit. So imagine if each family only had six kids. Right? Within their hundred and so many years of childbearing years, if they only had six kids, the number would be 46,000 people would be on the earth. So the question is, where did Cain get his wife? And that's why I said it was either a sister, right? Because they all come from Adam and Eve. But we don't have the time frame of when all these things. They had sons and daughters. And so they were marrying. And so you may have someone who is 100 years old. Could they marry a 40-year-old niece or grandniece? Or I lose track. I'm not good at genealogy. Right? Is there a great-grandniece? Great-grandnieces once removed? carry the one. I don't know. I lose track. I'm not good at those family things. I'll leave it to some of you guys who follow those genealogies. But it is interesting to see how these things all kind of play out. So it's interesting, right? We don't know these facts. We can infer some of what we do know. But now all of a sudden the Bible doesn't become this crazy thing. Because typically what happens is, where does Cain get his wife? And I've had people ask me those things. Some of them are out of sincerity. Some of them are to say, hey, you Christians are kind of stupid. The Bible's far-fetched and doesn't make sense. But because the Bible's true, you can apply some of these things. And it doesn't become such a crazy thing when we start playing these numbers. Now you say, wait a minute. You got marrying your sister. Like I said, ew. Right? I mean, even the thought, I just had one sister. Right? I'm like, meh. But biblically, we go down through, and actually, the laws that apply to this didn't come until about 2,500 years after Adam, when God gave the law to Moses. Deuteronomy tells us, and curses the one who lies with his sister, and the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say amen. In the Old Testament, when the law is given, now it's created these rules and regulations against marrying too close of a relative. Abraham, you know the story of him and Sarah. Sarah was his half-sister. Right? So apparently this happened. It wasn't... Right? And Abraham said, because I thought you truly fear of God, was not in this place, that they will kill me. What happened was, he was taken in by Pharaoh. Sarah was pretty, and he was afraid that he would get killed and someone would take Sarah as his wife. So he said, look, tell him you're my sister. And comes to find out, but indeed, she is truly my sister. She's the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And so Abraham lied to cover up the fact, but he had married his half-sister. Well, why did God all of a sudden change the rules and regulations, right? I'm just going to toss out just real simple. Adam and Eve, when they were created, they were perfect. There was no genetic flaws. There was no problems with that. But as mankind has populated, what happens? It breaks down the genetics. Right? And now you have relatives who are too close together. There's problems and birth defects that come up because of that. They didn't have that early on. And it wasn't until later on that God makes the regulations against those things. So all of this is to say, where did Cain get his wife? Once again, you start with what we know. And I think this is good biblical knowledge for us to do, right? Whatever subject you're looking at, go to the Bible first and say, well, okay, what does the Bible say? And we trust in the Scriptures. And in here now, because now we know what the Bible says, we can put together the pieces in a faithful way as according to the Scriptures. Unfortunately, what happens oftentimes as Christians is we run to all these other sources and the Bible becomes the last thing. And sometimes we're ignorant of what the Bible says, and therefore we kind of gobble up some of the philosophies of this world because we do not know what the Bible says. So where did Cain get his wife? We saw there was a population base, that they were having children. Early on, there wasn't the rule and regulations against marrying a sister or a niece or a grandniece, right? Those things don't come into play. Because of the longevity of things, we all of a sudden now we have these gaps in here where we can start filling in more and more people. And even just by simple math, when you see the population of the earth, because it's interesting, when Cain gets kicked out, he takes his wife, right? And one of the fears he has is, wait, I'm going to come across people who are going to kill me. And God says, I'll put a seal on you, protect you. Because there are other people around. We looked at, there are at least in the thousands of people around. Cain leaves, and then he goes, what? And he starts a city. Once again, where did all those people come from? Right? They were all descendants of Adam and Eve. We see the population filled out. So, once again, I think for us, out of all of this, is that the Bible is true. It is a place we can go to and look for answers. And I hope this really encourages you in your faith. Because the Bible does have answers to some of these things. Or at least gives us hints of truths that we can take and apply to our lives. Right? The Bible doesn't tell us all truth. But what it does say is true. And as Christians, we have to have wisdom in those distinctions. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, you are reliable and you are true. Lord, even a simple thing is digging into your word, of seeking out the questions that we have. Lord, help us in this process. Help us to start with truth first. And Lord, lead us into those truths. Help us to be people of the word that turn the pages and, Lord, and discover these things. And Lord, in this, build us in our faith. Lord, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Lord, increase our faith by the word, that we may take these things and apply them to our lives. Lord, we ask these things in your name. Amen. Why don't we go ahead and stay.